If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
Andre, I have an easy question for you.
What's that?
Are V8 engines and trucks dead or back and growing? What's the answer?
And well, that's an interesting question, and I think we can unpack this answer on this episode.
Yeah, it's one question for an hour-long discussion, but there's a lot there. And in this episode, I think let's do that. Let's talk about kind of where V8s have been. And where they're going. But in order to do that, I think we have to talk about the twin-turbo V6, which, as you know, Ford unveiled
15 years ago, my friend.
But before we get to that,
yes,
let's talk about the news.
But before we get to that,
what else we can talk about?
I'm going to surprise you.
Okay, you'll actually surprise me, then we'll talk about the news.
Did you know, this is March, mid-March, okay, right, that this is a birthday for the podcast?
No.
We're celebrating 6 years, Roman.
We've been doing this. Well, you've been doing it for 6 years.
Well,
holy cow.
I think the first episode was you and I, maybe, with Nathan.
Oh, I miss Nathan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
actually, so Nathan is coming to visit us soon.
We'll have to record.
Yes.
Yeah, he's coming here because his daughter is graduating college. Oh, my gosh, do we feel old. Old. So we'll have him in the studio. We can have a...
So anyway, we're celebrating 6 years.
Let's do an anniversary show.
With Nathan.
Nathan, yes. And we'll call it like whatever that'll be, like 604 or something.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to the news. Did you know, Andre, that the four-cylinder turbo in GM's trucks...
is coming back.
It's not just coming back, but with the new generation of Silverados, it's actually getting more power. And it's already crazy power. It's actually more torquey than the V8 5.3.
Many V8s, yes.
Yeah, I know.
So first of all, I'm super excited about the upcoming new generation of those trucks, right? So according to Mary Barra, the CEO of General Motors, we will see this year, sometime this year, we will see the 2027 Silverado 1500 new truck and also Sierra 1500 GMC new truck. And now, according to some sources from GMAuthority.com.
And those guys are authority.
Well, they're authority on GM,
they are.
Apparently.
No, I like those guys. They do good work.
Yeah. So they got a little bit of information from, according to them, from a reliable source, that not only is the 2.7-liter turbo 4 is coming back for the new generation of the truck. It's going to get more horsepower and more torque in those trucks.
There's going to be a through line in this podcast, Andre, / video.
Yeah.
And that through line is, I think that people have certain ideas that do not line up with facts.
Yes.
So I think that's the through line. Let's start with this news. So people think that the V8 is more reliable than a twin turbo V6, or in this case, a four-cylinder turbo. And yet, Andre, if you look at the facts, look at how reliable this four-cylinder has been compared to the 6.2. We could go down a laundry list, maybe we should, of all the issues the GM 6.2 has had, starting with catastrophic failure. We just got an email
recently.
Yeah, you want to talk about the email we got this week from one of our viewers?
Yeah, one of our viewers purchased a recent, I believe this is a 2025 GMC Yukon. I could pull this up right here. And he was driving on a highway at highway speeds, and this Yukon with a 6.2 V8, according to him, had a failure. This is a personal story. This is a Yukon, actually a 2023 model. I apologize. So recently he had a recall. They basically changed the oil, right? But he had a failure on the highway. According to him, I'm reading this. This was in March of 2026, traveling 70 miles an hour and with several of his kids. He's got three kids. And there was some sort of a noise. The transmission went into neutral, and he had to, well, he was able to kind of maneuver and kind of get to the shoulder of the highway and stop. But the engine did not restart. He basically had an engine failure.
Yeah, and this has happened before. There's, I think, a class action lawsuit, or there is some kind of a is there a recall? There's a recall.
Well, there's a recall, and this oil is a remedy, right?
So thicker oil, yeah.
Depending on what it is. So it's either changing the oil or replacing the engine.
And a lot of people are saying that the oil replacement is not the
the ultimate solution.
This is a whole other podcast. I don't want to get into the specifics of this. Also, we've had issues, of course, and this is very well known, cylinder deactivation.
Yes.
That has caused. And yet, that four-cylinder, Andre, just keeps trucking along. And yet, people, when they go to buy a truck, inherently look at the four-cylinder and think
and
to themselves.
And they say turbochargers are bad.
Yeah, exactly. Turbochargers are bad. And we have found that over time, that not only are they more powerful, more torquey, but probably less problematic than V8s.
Well, it depends on the design, right? I mean, design and execution.
This is GM, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Toyota hasn't had a good time with their V6,
so
right?
Let's go there. So, yeah. As you know, Toyota had one of the most venerable V8s in the...
The 5.7.
Yeah. That was the million-mile motor. Or was that the 4.6? The 4.6.
Both of them.
Both of them were, yeah. Remember that guy, the story we did about that guy? That was 4.6, right? That was a previous generation.
Yes. So it's a little confusing because there was a 4.6 V8, there was a 4.7 V8, and then there's a 5.7 V8. And actually that gentleman, Tim also interviewed him second time.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time he had an older Tundra, like a 2007 model. And then he got a different V8 Tundra also to a million miles with a 5.7.
Yeah. And so here we have the exact opposite, where what people think is actually what's happening. And I'm, of course, referring to the fact that the Toyota twin-turbo V6 has not had a stellar introduction.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're replacing now the second batch of 100,000. Is that right?
Yeah. So they're up to about 220,000 engines now that they said within their recall that they're going to replace, because they're also basically kind of destroying themselves.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think Toyota has done the right thing by actually replacing the entire engine. I'm not saying GM's not doing the right thing by changing the oil, but if I owned one of those two trucks and there was potential for a catastrophic failure, I would rather have the entire engine replaced. And that is, of course, expensive, both
it depends
in time
on
and
what
money.
It depends on what the problem is, yes.
And so, the one thing about Toyota is that when they do make a mistake, they do, at least according to this recall, they do step up and they do fix their mistakes. And I'm not sure that you could say that. I'm not trying to diss GM here, but I'm not sure the GM has that kind of a record in terms of doing recalls. So that, there you have kind of the other side of the story where you actually have proof that the V8 was much more reliable than the V6, but it gets much more complicated than that. It doesn't just stop there. So let's keep going down the row of other V6s. And the one that I think is the most important is because it's the one that actually introduced the twin turbo V6 to pickup trucks, and that is Ford. Remember when Ford came out with the 2.7 and the 3.5 EcoBoost?
Yeah. Well, I think this was when we're kind of right before we launched the truck channel, even, but you already had the TFL car channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of at the forefront of this. I remember your video. I think I filmed one of them as well. You and Nathan were reviewing because the Coyote arrived, the 5-liter arrived into the truck in the F-150 and also the EcoBoost. And that was a huge controversy, right? Because people are saying, you're not going to take away my V8. I will have it, you know.
And everybody hated the V6. Everybody hated the EcoBoost. And yet kind of Ford stuck with the technology and they stuck to their guns. And do we have numbers on what percentage of Fords are Coyotes versus 2.7 versus 3.5?
Yes, we do, because our good friend Sam from Wheel Bearings Podcast.
So let's put some numbers to this.
Yeah. We had recently, several months ago, we had some data, hard data. This is based on production, right? So production of pickup trucks for United States and North America. And for Ford, we have data between 2018 and 2023. So we don't have 2011 numbers. You know, back then it was basically 100% V8, right, before 2011. But in 2018, Ford sold, out of all the F-150s they sold 31%, 31.2% were V8s in 2018.
That's kind of...
A third.
Yeah, a third. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know if that's shocking or not. I guess it is surprising because you would think when we look at the comments in our videos and when we talk to people, everybody loves the V8 with their pickup truck, and yet only a third of Fords are actually configured that way. And that could be because of a lot of different factors, because there's this thing called a dealer in between the factory and the customer.
Yeah.
And the dealer, to a large extent, decides what they're going to order for their dealership. And that is driven more by profit than I think by customer demand in a lot of cases.
And then the factory or the OEM, the manufacturer, they have their own, you know, agenda, right? You know, if they want to have, you know, increased production of this engine or decreased production of another engine, they can incentivize certain trims, right?
Yeah. So let's start with Ford before we get to some of the other manufacturers, because there's also big things happening over at Ram, obviously.
Yeah. But just a second.
Yeah,
so in 2023,
yeah.
So it went from a third of approximately F-150s were V8s in 2018 to about a quarter, about 23.5% in 2023 were V8s. So it's still going down, right? So there's more and more, you know, hybrid F-150s and V6 twin turbo. They have two engines there, right? They have the 2.7 and, of course, the 3.5.
Yeah, and so I'm going to cut to the chase. If I were buying an F-150 today, and I'd like to get your answer to this question as well, which powertrain would you purchase, given that they were kind of apples to apples in terms of pricing, which they're not, but let's just say that there is...
Well, they could be.
They could be, yeah.
Depending on trim, yeah.
You could have an XLT versus a Platinum.
Yeah.
Right. But let's say they're apples to apples. Which powertrain would you purchase? And I'll give you my answer, and I have no doubt about this. Now, keep in mind, we just owned the VA Tremor.
For many months,
yeah. A year, basically. And I was a little disappointed in that powertrain. I wasn't disappointed. Let me put it this way. I wasn't disappointed in it. If I had never driven an EcoBoost, I would have been perfectly happy with the V8 because it sounds fabulous. It was 100% reliable.
It drives good.
And it sounds fabulous because it sounds fabulous.
Yes.
but Andre, and now here's a little caveat. We are at a mile above sea level.
Yes.
And we do have lower air pressure, which means we lose horsepower, especially when we go up the Ike. And to make up for that, there's one easy way to do it, either a turbocharger or a supercharger, or electrification. You can also do it that way. And if it were my dithers, no doubt in my mind that if I were buying an F-150 today, I would get the 3.5 EcoBoost Hybrid.
Hybrid.
The one you own, basically, yes. Because it's got the power on board.
I
wouldn't even think twice about it. I wouldn't even consider the 2.7. I wouldn't even look at the V8. One of the reasons we looked at the V8 was we thought about supercharging it, and then we just couldn't make a business case for it, so we never did it.
Yeah.
So I apologize for that, but it was just
it was not wise for business.
I'll do a little rant.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to take this. This is a little sidebar.
You know what? I think a lot of our listeners and viewers like your rants.
You know what my rant is? I'll tell you what my rant is. Why is it that when you, in our case, spend $7,500 putting on all kinds of cool-ass lights onto the Tremor, we actually went to a couple of dealers and said, hey, are you interested in buying this? And one of them actually came back to us and said they'd give us less money because we actually put Ford F-150 LEDs on it, which are great, by the way. Thank you to those guys for supplying them. So because we customized it, they would actually give us less on a trade or on a pure sale than if we had not touched it. And mm-hmm. the same thing was true if we had put that supercharger on it. So we could have spent at least $12,000 supercharging it. And when we went to go sell it or we went to go trade it in, it would have been worth exactly $0 more than without a supercharger.
And even with a Ford-approved supercharger.
With the warranty.
This is not a random supercharger we found on the street, right?
Yeah.
Ford-approved, Ford performance.
I have this continuing argument with James, and he lives in a different world. He's a friend of mine. And so he's always lifting his trucks. And I'm like, you could put $10,000 into your truck and lift it.
Or $15,000.
And it's gonna cost you more money when you go to sell it. Because unless you can find that one person who wants that truck the exact way that you lifted it, with the exact parts that you put on it, with the exact tires that you're wheeling, you're going to get no money back on that.
And the dealer won't give you anymore.
They'll look at – if I bring two trucks to a dealership and one – this happened with our – tell them what happened with our Ram. I've been talking on – you get to rat now. Tell them what happened with the Ram 2500 that we put these incredible AEB parts on, like 10,000.
It was even worse.
It was worse.
I mean, we put not just 10,000, $17,000.
It was like a $2,500. Was it like a 15,000-pound winch or something? Worn. Not some like, you know,
Harbor Freight one.
This was like top of the line, you know, the Cadillac of winches.
So beautiful bumpers, AEV bumpers. By the way, AEV bumpers are super solid because, you know, they don't rust, you know, after a year,
We had the first Gen Raptor. And yes. We put a Smittybilt winch on it. With a mounting plate. And within about 2.5 hours, it started to rust.
Yes.
The mounting plate, not the winch.
AEV bumpers won't do that.
Yep.
Very expensive to purchase and also install because they're pretty heavy. Winch, suspension lift, right? Bigger wheels and tires. Bigger tires, you know, because we put it on 37s. What else did we do? Oh, side steps. I mean, on and on and on. We added a lot of different.
That was a badass truck.
Yes.
Do we get a penny for that?
No.
And you know, here's the Ram part. And I work with two dealerships. I know these guys, so I like them. But here's the crazy part. When you go to trade it in, it's worthless. But when it sits on the lot.
Oh, it's even more valuable.
All of a sudden, that worthless trade-in is worth like $10,000 over one that doesn't have it. But when you bring it in, they're like, no one's going to want this. And then a week later, it's at the front, you know, get your lifted IEV Ram and you're going to pay
$10,000 over. Yes.
Take you over what the market value is. Yes. That's my rant, Andre, and I'm sticking to it.
All right.
But anyway, so.
I agree with you. If you ask me to buy an F-150 today, mm-hmm. it'll be the hybrid power boost system that, you know, that's what they call it. And all day long, because it adds power, you know, what is it, 420 horsepower now. Oh, by the way, in 2026, which we are in now, they put, Roman, on the 3.5 EcoBoost, they put a particulate filter on this. So they're adding, there's another emissions control system
You mean kind of like a diesel?
Yes.
A diesel particulate filter?
Yes, but this is a gasoline one on the 3.5.
I thought the current administration was doing away with all that, but Ford has gone the other way. Interesting.
Well, because a manufacturer like Ford or others, they plan for this months or years in advance, right? Yeah. It doesn't just happen. Oh, tomorrow we're going to put a particular.
So when
filter.
The president wakes up and decides, "Hey, I'm going to do away with this law," that planning for that law took place like 5 years ago.
Yes.
Suppliers were contacted.
Because you have to make those filters.
Suppliers were contacted.
Yes.
Robots were purchased.
Yes. Factories were built.
Factory workers were trained.
Yes.
Computer systems were put in place. And so even if the president wakes up and says, oh, by the way, no stop start.
Well, that's easier.
Yeah.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Kachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's kachava.com, code NEWS.
Hey, I have one more rant.
Another rant?
I am very ranty today.
Oh, geez.
I've been listening to all these podcasts, and there are all these bozos out there. I'm calling you bozos. I'm not going to name you, but you are bozos who are out there saying that the president said that K-cars are legal in America. Isn't that news?
Oh,
K-car, that little cake truck we have, it's legal. It's completely legal.
Right now?
Yeah, apparently all the bozos out there who don't do any research or who just read one story have decided that you can now go and buy a K-truck or K-car to your heart's delight and go register it at the state. Hey, by the way, where do you register it? Oh, that's right.
It's the county.
Yeah, the county and the state. And what does the president control? Oh, the federal government. Not the county government.
So, by the way, we did a story about this last year, about a year ago, right? Because Colorado wants to allow K cars and trucks,
yes,
right? But that law is going to go in effect in 2027 at the earliest.
At the earliest.
And
so it
depends.
This is done at the state level. And the thing that the president said wasn't that K cars are illegal, which is what all the bozos have decided that he said. What he said was that he wanted manufacturers to build K vehicles in America, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But somehow that got translated and turned into, hey,
that they're on sale. Yeah.
Hey, I can go buy one and register it, and then Chevy's building the next K truck. That's how they got translated. First of all, there's no American manufacturer or Japanese manufacturer that's going to start building K trucks or K cars.
It's going to take them years if they wanted to.
They're not going to do it. You know, you know how hard it would be to sell a tiny truck in America?
Slade is trying to do it.
Yes. But you know how hard it will be to sell a tiny truck in America, Andre?
And Slade is a new company.
Because those guys are deep in the truck world.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know a lot about what people want when it comes to trucks. Uh-huh. Because the timing there couldn't be better, right?
It's an all-electric truck. That's two-door only.
With a tiny bed. Yeah,
Yeah,
that has a range of 150 for the, and that lost the tax credit. That's right. The manufacturers combined now with Honda have taken $100 billion, as in B, write-off when it comes to their electrification.
Yeah.
And Slade's going to sell a tiny electric truck in America. Good luck with that, guys. Wish you luck.
Yeah.
Hey, don't bother calling us and asking us because apparently you didn't do that. Sorry, I'm a little grumpy and ranty. All right, let's keep going.
Where are we?
We're back at Ford. So the options.
Oh, so particulate filters.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So, but still, if you look at the hybrid, dude, 420 horsepower and 570 pound-feet of torque, that's humongous numbers, dude. And power
a house.
But you can power a house with
it. We did it. We powered a house with it. In one of our videos,
yes.
We powered a house with it. Yeah.
So if I was buying an F-150, I would definitely go for the hybrid all the way. Turbo hybrid.
Yeah, yeah. The six-cylinder is still there, but it's old and it's kind of wimpy. The problem, quite honestly, with the Coyote, which I love, especially in the Mustang, love it in the Mustang. The problem with it is it just doesn't have the power that the turbos do, not just at altitude. We towed a pretty heavy trailer with it, and I was white knuckled. I think it was 7,500 to 8,000 pounds, and I was pretty white knuckled, not because of the chassis, but because the truck just didn't have the oomph to like get me out of the way of accidents or to accelerate. It was working very hard, very hard, maybe too hard. Whereas the thing about, I think, towing and what makes it so tiring is that you're always in the moment. It's like riding a motorcycle. You've got this big load behind you, and you know that potentially can jackknife on you.
Or it starts to sway a little bit.
And then there are people in cars that are zipping around you, and then there are big trucks that you have to pass. And so you don't just sit back and listen to a podcast when you're towing and kind of zone out. You are in the moment. At least you should be in the moment.
You're driving.
You're driving.
Actively.
Yeah, and that's what also makes it fun, because you're actually doing something real. But it also makes it extremely stressful and extremely tiring. And to make it a little bit less stressful, it's nice when you have a truck that performs and makes that job feel and seem easy. And with the V8, at least when you get up, I'd say over 7, 7.5, and that truck will tow 10. But when you get up to the top of that limit, you really start to see where it's becoming maxed out. And well, that's why I say, like, if I had to tow something, let's say I had to tow 6,000-pound thing to California, I would still take our Duramax.
Which is a big truck.
Which is a big truck.
Because that V8, to make that power, it has to rev up, right? So 4,000, 5,000 RPM. And even though the sound is not horrible, I mean, it's a nice V8 sound, if you're listening to that sound for minutes or hours and on and on and on your trip, I mean, that gets tiring after a while.
And now that we're living through another gas spike, crisis. I don't know. We don't know where we're going yet. I think fuel economy is also becoming important. Now, of course, the old saying with the Ford EcoBoost is you can have Eco or you can have Boost. You can't have both. But with the V8, you certainly don't get Eco.
Not much, anyway.
Not much.
I mean, you could help with transmissions, right?
At least there's a whiff of Eco in the EcoBoost. Let's call it that.
But hey, a hybrid has a possibility. We recently tested that hybrid, you know, F-150 versus the rest of half tons, and it was remarkably efficient on our Denver 100 loop. We got 29 mpg. 29.
It blew my mind.
It's still, I'm still flabbergasted by this.
Yeah. I think a lot of truck buyers specifically have been put off by the word hybrid. Right, there's that sense out there, like, you know, you can take the V8 off my dead cold hands, you know, and so the word hybrid, why would I want any of that, you know? And I don't mean to be doing a southern accent. I should do it like my accent. That's
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. Chicago. Why would you? I can't do a Chicago. I think I lost most of it. But why would you add hybridization or electrification to a vehicle and make it, in their minds, less reliable and less fun and less gutsy when you don't have to? But with the fuel prices squeaking their way up, Andre, now we're at, like, I just bought premium fuel because a lot of engines now need premium. It was over $4 a gallon at Costco.
Yeah. And that's one of the cheaper places you could buy it, right?
Yeah, or maybe it was Walmart. I forget which one I was
well,
at.
You
Not
bring
Walmart,
up
sorry,
an
inter- Champs Club.
You bring up an interesting question, Roman, because a lot of turbo engines, they do like their premium fuels.
They do.
Right? But as far as all the current manufacturers, we're talking about Ford, GM, Ram, Toyota, they certify their engines on 87 octane, right? So you won't hurt your engine by running 87 octane. You could gain a little bit of performance, right, by going to premium.
And fuel economy.
And fuel economy by going to those higher octane fuels, 91 or 93 octane if you have it. But you won't hurt your engine going 87.
Now, let's take another little sidebar here. Side road. And that is, for a while there was this push toward diesels in full-size trucks. But I feel
not
like
heavy duties.
No, not heavy duties. Obviously, those are very much diesel.
Those are all diesels almost.
But I feel like that wave has broken on the rocks of reality. I think for a long time people were very excited to be able to have that diesel option in their full-size or half-ton trucks. And then the reality of, like, what it takes to do that, where you have to have DEF.
And high maintenance costs.
And high maintenance cost and high initial purchase costs. So I'm not sure. Do we have a take rate on anybody else's truck lineup, like specifically GM?
So GM. Yeah, we have. Okay, we have it.
Let's see what GM. Let's switch. We're like a half hour into this. Let's go to GM, the other big gorilla in the room.
Yeah. So, in fact, you know, if you look at GMC plus Chevy, I mean, they sell more trucks, pickup trucks, than anybody else. Couple things here. So we still have the same time scale between 2018 and 2023. and their 3-liter Duramax was introduced, all right, within that time period, about 2019 to 2020. And their 3-liter diesel share went from nothing in 2018, obviously, to, listen to this, almost 13% of their trucks in 2023 were 3-liter turbo diesel. This, we're still talking about half ton only, right? Only the non-heavy duty. And now I think it's even higher. It's probably approaching 20%. So that's a good chunk. But they're alone now, right? Ford went away from a 3-liter diesel. Ram went away from their diesel, their eco-diesel engines. So I think GM is enjoying that kind of they're the only game in town.
I'm not sure if Ram went away from the diesel or if the customers ran fast and far from the diesel.
Well, they had some recalls.
Yeah,
they had some problems.
Yeah, they had some problems. Then they had a fix, which made the engine actually worse in terms of horsepower and fuel economy.
And response.
And that's when the customers went, oh, no. So GM is still kind of pushing the diesel?
Yeah, a little bit. So they're approaching like 15%-ish, I would imagine.
But they're the last man standing.
Yeah, exactly. But listen to this. As of 2023, GM half-ton truck V8 share was 62%.
They have two V8s.
Different V8 options. And they're doubling down on V8s, dude. For 2027... they're redesigning their V8 engines.
Yeah, and they're making them bigger.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're going up, what, the 5.2s become the 5...
The 5.3 becomes the 5.7, 350 Chevy.
And the 6.2 becomes the
6.6. 6.6,
yeah.
Yeah.
And once again, we're only talking about full-size half-tons. We're not talking about heavy-duty trucks. So same question as before. If you were buying a GM pickup full-size, what powertrain would you get?
So... interesting. So you and I also did a story this week about the diesel engines and heavy-duty trucks, mm-hmm. right? And I was doing a lot of research about the upcoming Mega Max and the upcoming 8-liter Power Stroke diesels, which are not really real, just rumors. I figured out that, personally speaking, I would not buy a diesel truck. Personally speaking.
Mind blown.
Whoa.
This is a man who started at TFL with a Duramax.
With a Duramax 6.6.
Why wouldn't you buy one?
Well, because my personal use case, I commute from work to home, which is about 20 miles one way. And then I go to the airport and home, which is about 10 miles one way.
You go see your parents.
And I see my parents.
Which is about 20 miles.
Yes. But I only tow, personally speaking, not for work, not when I'm doing eye gauntlets, but personally speaking, I tow about 5 times a year. So for those use cases, I don't want to invest into higher maintenance costs of a diesel engine, DEF fluid costs. I mean, because it's not insignificant, right?
No.
It could be significant cost.
No, it's a pain in the ass, too.
So you have to buy jugs or find a reliable source for DEF fluid.
I always go to Sam's Club, and they have inexpensive DEF, but I always forget to buy it. And then I feel bad about the fact that then I run out, then I got to go get it at the gas station.
You have to go back, yeah.
No, I just get it at the gas station because I need it.
And it's more expensive, more expensive.
It's like 2x what it is, and I'm mad at myself that I forgot.
But it also comes in a plastic jug that is inside of a cardboard container.
With that stupid spout that like manages to get DEF everywhere but into that little hole next to the gas, next to the diesel filler.
And then you're trying to think, where should I recycle all this stuff?
Yes.
Where should I put it?
The only cool part is it makes that funny gurgling sound when you exactly, it's very satisfying. That's the best part of DEF.
Sir, I would not buy a Duramax 3.0, unfortunately speaking.
All right, so that I'm with you. I wouldn't get that either. I think Tim had that experience, and I think a lot of truck guys and gals are diesel curious, and they don't want the heavy duty. So this was one way to get into it. And at the end of the day, I think they found that the expense and the maintenance and the downside outweighs the upside.
Yeah.
And you can't also get diesel everywhere. That's another problem.
Yeah, but it's better than what it was, you know, 10 or 20 years ago.
But still, you know, like there's a gas station I like to go to at the Sam's Club. Every time I go there, there's some like, I don't guess they allow this, but there's some like giant commercial dump truck.
Oh, because it's cheaper.
It's cheaper.
Right.
And that guy's got like a 200-gallon tank. And then the commercial, like the big truck stops, they have big nozzles.
Yes, and these are smaller nozzles.
These are like car-sized nozzles. Yeah. So the guy's in there for like 20 minutes, and I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
Yes. So, dude, but if my use case was either driving very long distances. Let's say I was, you know, I don't know, maybe a contractor where I have to go many, many miles every single day and just continue to drive my truck, or pulling trailers, or I would go 3.0, but I personally wouldn't, because that's not my use case.
So we've had, we've owned the 5.3. Remember, we had the Trail Boss.
Yeah, with a 10-speed.
And it was good.
I think that's where I would go.
I might go there too. The four-cylinder, I like the four-cylinder as an around-town truck.
So I owned it.
Yes.
For in my Colorado.
Yes.
Right? The same Turbo Max engine, 2.7.
I still have it in the Canyon.
And the Canyon, currently we have it as well, so we own it. Fine engine, but it's a little coarse, right? It's not as pleasing to drive.
It's got the least towing, I think, as well.
Well, yeah, of course, in the full, in the half-ton truck.
Yeah, so
so I wouldn't go 2.7.
As an around-town truck, I think I'd get it. But if you wanted a dual truck, I think the 6.2 doesn't get you that much more than the 5.3, and it's got all those issues. So I think for me it would be the 5.3 right now if I were buying a GM.
Yeah, and I would agree. I wouldn't go 6.2, not because it was having issues, but because it's just probably too much for my use case.
5.3 also has issues. Well, it's also
it could.
It also has more expensive.
So I would stay 5.3.
Yeah.
All the way. And they're redesigning it. So now I'm really curious about that, you know, 350 cubic inch Chevy. It's coming back in the truck with a 5.7. So I'm really curious about that.
So there you go. There's our recommendation for GM.
By the way,
they're the only ones who don't have a twin turbo.
Correct.
Yeah.
They don't have anything equivalent to Ford or even Ram, which is next, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But before we move on, dude, as of 2023, the 2.7 Turbomax was about a quarter of their big truck sales for half tons. So that's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's better than the diesel. It's doing better. So and now they're apparently even increasing the horsepower.
Do we know if they're going to stick with the diesel going into the next gen, or are they going to get rid of it?
Well, let me check GM authority. Hold on.
Hey, you guys do good work.
Well, GM authority didn't say anything, okay, but I think they are continuing.
Okay, so the diesel, they're soldiers on.
They are soldiering on. Now, should we switch to Ram?
Yeah, so Ram was interesting. You could have your engine in any configurations as long as it was a straight six turbo Hurricane, either in a low output or high output form, right? So what was the what's the horsepower in the low output versus high output?
We don't say low output.
Regular
ever.
Output, sorry.
Ever.
Sorry, Stellantis. Sorry, Ram. Sorry, Tim.
We don't say low output. So the standard
normal
output.
Normal output.
The standard output is 420.
Which is a lot.
Which is the same as a 6.2 V8.
I know.
In the GM. And the torque is even better, 469 pound-feet of torque. But they have a high output version also. 540 horsepower.
Well, hold on. Ford also has a high output version in the Raptor of the.
It's only 450. Oh, so small. Oh.
Well, they also have the Raptor R.
Okay, that's good.
That's got
good.
Over 700.
Yeah. No, but I think the new 3-liter straight inline sixes are super smooth. They're very quiet. They're very powerful. And so far, there wasn't a lot of serious recalls about it.
Everybody wants a Hemi. Everybody wants a Hemi.
And Jim Kuniska has brought it back.
And so last year they sold, what, 10,000, you said?
Ish, yeah.
And so, this year he said they're going to sell 100,000.
Yeah, they're going to produce. They're going to try to sell 100,000 Hemis this year.
I think, I like the Hemi. It sounds incredible. I'll get to the buts, because there are a lot of buts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Hemi has got to be one of the best branding exercises in all of truckdom and enginedom.
Yes.
Because people believe that that is the Superman engine, that engine is just...
Well, it kind of originated in the 60s and the 70s, right?
Far and above everything else, which is good for Tim. Good for you, man. I mean, if you've got such a strong brand. But here's the but. It's old.
Well, yeah, the current...
It's not very powerful.
The current 5.7 Hemi originates like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's not very powerful. It's what,
395.
Yeah.
So it's not as powerful as some of the bigger V8s.
Well, not as powerful as a high output Hurricane, I'll tell you that.
No, not at all.
Not at all. And it's very thirsty.
Yeah.
It's old.
It's not as bad as a V8 Tundra.
No, but it's
but
old.
It's still
in that cat. It's in that realm of you're in the teens. And I think people have forgotten those three things. And all they remember, which is fine, is the glorious engine node, which is
potentially the best. The best node.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. when you uncan, open up,
uncork
a Hemi, there is nothing better than the sound of that Hemi V8. But in terms of, you know, all the other things, like the stuff that's left brain, like you're going to have to go to the fuel pump. You know, you're going to have to tow stuff with
and
it.
And that e-torque system is not helping much.
No.
We owned one. Remember, no, 2019.
Is it still on?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
So if you're an engineer, you've got two choices. If you want to add a little electric helper to your V8.
Yes.
You could do it the elegant way. I'm using the word elegant, which is you take an electric motor and you sandwich it in between of the internal combustion engine and the transmission.
Yes.
So that it elegantly adds power. It does things like when you're shifting, it makes up for that little torque loss in between shifts. So it makes for smoother acceleration.
Or you could shut down the engine altogether.
Or you could, depending how big your battery is.
Sure.
Right.
Yes.
You could do that. Or you could stick it on top of the engine.
And drive it with a belt.
With a belt.
Yeah.
Which seems less elegant.
It's also supposed to help you with the shifting and the start-stop engine technology that everybody hates.
But you're driving the belt, basically.
But you can't stop the engine.
Right.
And the whole point is you want better efficiency. So if you do shut down your main engine and use a little electric motor, that's supposed to help the most.
It kind of feels like hybridization became a thing with Toyota. And I think back in the day, and I'm not talking that long ago, Ram kind of got caught with their technological pants not quite done up. And so they quickly went to market to compete with the rest of the industry. And they came up with kind of this Band-Aid, which is basically slap an electric motor to the belt system of the V8 and call it good. And I don't think it does a lot. I'm not sure it actually adds. I don't think it hurts a lot. I just don't think it adds a lot.
Well, there was some reliability issues with it.
Reliability issues.
So I think it's kind of a double whammy, right? It wasn't helping a lot, and it created some issues, and then it became known as just not good, right? Mm. Because in the public eye.
How much horsepower did it add, you remember?
Zero.
Wait, how much? Zero?
Yes.
So what's the point? Why do you
don't ask me what's the point is.
Why would you add this thing on top of the engine if it has zero horsepower? How about this? Can you run without ever turning the engine on?
No.
Okay.
But it smoothed out auto stop start. So when you pulled up to a stop sign.
There you have it.
That was smooth. It is smooth.
And so like your air conditioner wouldn't turn on.
Yes, because for a longer period of time.
You had this electric motor running it.
Well, yeah, or you have the battery, right? Because you have a small battery, a tiny little battery. But it also didn't add a lot of cost.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
So on the flip side, and the e-torque system is very affordable.
And I like the 4xe system. It didn't add a lot of reliability issues.
So we don't say that term, 4xe.
Maybe we should be happy that they went with e-torque instead of 4xe.
So I think out of the trucks, and we'll get to Toyota in a second, right?
Same question.
Oh, which engine?
Yeah.
So we agree, you and I agreed, F-150 hybrid.
Yeah.
5.3 V8 in the GM.
Yeah. Of course, if money's no object, the the Raptor R is the way to go.
But only a few.
Or a Raptor, but we're taking those out. So you can't say TRX, which is obviously coming back. So we can't say that. So out of the current regular lineup, you've got really three choices. Hemi, standard output, standard.
Thank you.
And high output. Hurricane.
Standard output Hurricane for me.
A high output all day long.
You high?
Yeah.
But it's only available in a more fancy truck. So your Longhorn or your Tungstens.
How about the Backcountry? Your,
a standard. Mm. Standard only.
Warlock?
So you will... No. Mm. So you will have to step up
Big
to...
Horn?
No. So that's why I was saying 3.0 standard for me because... Even though I love the, don't get me wrong, I love the 5.7, but for smoothness and the power and everything else, efficiency, 3.0 standard.
Hmm.
Because I'm not that fancy.
No, I am. I am that.
Well, yeah, and
have you driven that thing? The only downside is, BMW builds a really good straight six.
Also 3 liters.
Also, that sounds really good. The Ram straight six. It's I would
yes.
put it somewhere. It's okay. Okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's not. It's like.
Well, you just drove a 3 liter Charger.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah.
It depends. Do you like more of that guttural, like, deep bassoon rumble, or do you like more of the screaming Ferrari-ish, Formula One-ish? You know, that's really the difference. If you like that more high-pitched, flat plane crank sound, then that's very much a straight
six. But there's something.
Or if you like the more Harley-like, you know, like my heartbeat is getting faster and faster as I push the accelerator, both for real and with the engine note, then that's what you like. They're both, it's like the Stingray versus the Z06. They're very different powertrains, and they're both delightful in their own way. It just depends what you like. So if it was only for engine note, I get the Hemi, but I would definitely get the high output Hurricane just because it's so much power, so much
yeah,
power.
Yeah, I was just in Detroit recently, a couple of weeks back, and I had that Tungsten, really fancy Ram 1500. And even though the truck is heavier, right, because it's got the massaging seats and the panoramic sunroof and, you know, leather on every surface, that engine is unmistakable. I mean, that truck jumps off the line just like an electric truck would. You know what I'm saying? It's not electric, but that engine just makes it so powerful.
Yeah, so we're split on that, but it just it probably.
But we're still turbo.
Yeah, we're still
we
turbo.
We still went turbo.
All right, we're running out of time, but we still have another, let's say, 15
minutes.
We're okay. Let's head over to our friends at Toyota. And here's something interesting, and I want to get your take on this because this directly affects you, my man.
No way.
Yeah, directly. I was talking to Grant, who does all of our ad sales.
Yes.
And by the way, if you want to sponsor this podcast, we'd love to have you.
Yes, because currently we're sponsored by you, our listener.
Yeah, our Patreon members.
Yes.
So thank you guys. You make this possible. But if you want to be part of a six-year-old podcast.
That's turning six.
Yeah, contact us at.
It's more like six in dog years.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's what it feels like. You know, here's another thing I heard.
What?
I read a story recently that whole dog year thing is out the window. Right.
I'm not supposed to say that?
No. You can still say it, but the idea behind it is completely wrong. And there's a point you can make.
Oh, because it's not linear?
Exactly, yeah. So one year, ironically or currently, people believe that one human year is equal to seven dog years, given how long dogs live and given how long we live. And that's the number I've been going with. So our dog is five, which would make him 35, middle age-ish.
Sure.
But when you think about it this way, and this is what the point of the story was, a human at the age of seven certainly can't have a baby, and yet a dog at the age of one, which would translate to human year seven, is ready to have kids. So
it's not linear.
No, the scientists did was that they figured out that it's not linear, that initially dogs age much quicker, and then as they get older, they slow down their aging. So it's more of a steep curve, and then the curve gets gentler as they age.
And so they kind of maintain the same level.
Yes,
so
exactly.
To speak.
Yeah. So take that for what it's worth.
So similar to our podcast.
yeah, we're aging.
So
slowly.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What about Grant?
Oh yeah. So this is what Grant told me. He said that right now in the used market, a used Tundra with the six cylinder, the V6, is worth less than your Tundra with the old V8.
That is true. I also saw this.
Is this true?
Yeah.
So this is absolutely so.
I saw it locally.
So tell them which one you have and then tell them what we're talking about.
Go ahead. And I also did the video about related to this because I did a video and I used Auto Tempest data for this.
Thank you, Auto Tempest.
Yeah, thank you, because they are one of our sponsors.
Not on the podcast.
Not for the podcast,
for
our video.
Yeah, they're great.
I saw locally at Mountain States Toyota, which is a dealership not far away from us.
You know what I love about Auto Tempest? You can just do a search for everything.
Or something very specific.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you can search all. You can even search, I think, Craigslist on it if you
yes.
have to. Yeah, which is
because
great.
Because it links to it.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. So if you're doing a very specific search,
but for example,
place to go.
Like, you and I liked the hybrid Ford.
Yeah.
but you can search specifically F-150 hybrid powertrain, and it will give you every, you know, search engine out there in one place. So that's really cool.
All right. So tell me.
So tell them what truck you have, so they know. I have a 2019 V8 Tundra.
TRD Pro.
Yes.
In that cool blue, Voodoo Blue.
Voodoo Blue.
Uh-huh.
And I looked up several other vehicles, like 2022, you know, those are the new generation V6 Tundras, right? So 2022, 2023. And my truck with more miles is the same price or more valuable than those new V6 trucks. I just saw that locally.
Ta-da!
you could do it at our local dealer.
Yeah.
Yes. But you know what? I think my truck is losing a little bit right now because the fuel went up. And
what kind of fuel economy are you getting in the truck?
Between 14 and 15.
Yeah, welcome to Hemi World.
So, yeah. So that's
old generation. Also the Nissan.
Same
problem.
Yeah, that's poor economy.
Yeah.
So anyway, so those older V8 Tundras are holding their value.
Are you still selling it?
I couldn't get excited about my next truck.
So Andre found an old Ford diesel that he was thinking about.
I found a 2014 Powerstroke.
Yep.
For 28,000, which was probably high.
Yeah.
But I could negotiate 181,000.
And then diesel went through the roof.
Yes. And also I realized that, you know, I have to be careful about my particulate filter system, make sure I drive it enough and it doesn't get clogged. And then the EGR system.
So you did a 180 basically. You went from wanting a diesel to like not wanting one.
Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense.
In the period of one weekend.
Yeah. Is that because of diesel prices?
No, it was because my research.
Because diesel here, at least in Colorado, it's like $5 a gallon.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, that has something to do with it. Anyways, so where were we?
So we're at a point where, because people, this is a through line I was telling you about, people believe that the V8 is so much better than...
At everything,
that the older V8 Tundras are worth more. Of course...
But in that case,
reason is because
it's super solid, and the new ones are recalled.
Yeah,
yes.
So, and that story just keeps ticking along. I'm not sure we still have gotten the full story from Toyota why it's happening. They say it's because of the process of manufacturing the engines, and that they somehow got debris in them
and the shavings.
But there have been a lot of people who are saying that there's actually parts of the engine that are breaking down when they're being used. So. What we do know, like I said, is that Toyota is replacing them. And I think if I had a Tundra, here's the other thing that's weird. I think if I had a Tundra with a replaced engine, I think that's more valuable than one without a replaced engine. That's not getting recalled. But most people don't think about it that way. Most people think that once that engine goes and that they've taken it to the dealer, they kind of want to wash their hands of it. And I think that's what's happening. I think a lot of people are like, just replace my engine, and then I don't trust this thing anymore. And I can see that because I can see myself.
Well, it's like having a major surgery.
Yeah.
Right? You could get a brand new leg.
But it's not as good as the old leg.
But maybe it's not as good as the old leg.
Or better not having a brand new leg. Why do I need a brand new leg anyway? But you see what I'm saying? People have kind of washed their hands
sure,
of it, and
yes.
They're done with it, and they dump them. But I'll give you an example, and this is going to go way out of the truck world. So we bought this... just out of circumstance, we bought this 2003 Porsche 911 from a gentleman who was selling it. And the 2003, the 996 generation, I'm not going to go too far afield here to car chat, but they had this issue with the IMS bearing, intermediate shaft bearing. And yes. when that goes...
It really goes.
I saw an engine where it went and the whole engine was basically cracked. The whole block just went.
It just seizes and cracks.
It cracks the block. Yeah. It's real catastrophic failure. Not like we should talk about what happens when that GM engine fails. It's kind of clever. The V8 apparently. This guy's email. He said that when
because
engine,
I was wondering if the wheels locked up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like Verstappen's locked up when he went to regen. Like this.
Yeah. Max was
really
going
jumping
on.
Around.
Yes.
Yeah, in the last Grand Prix in the Australian Grand Prix where he did a 180 but the GM puts you in neutral.
And so you can instantaneously,
coast. Yeah,
yes.
You can coast and you can actually pull
yeah,
over.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you know, having like what happened with Max. Anyway, so this is a known issue in the 911. Let's go back to that. And this happened to this guy at 40,000 miles. And
which was how many years ago? Like many years ago, right?
The car has 80,000, so half
its life.
Like, yeah. Porsche at that time spent $20,000 and I've got the receipt to replace the engine under warranty. Now, to me... I would rather have
that. So now you have a newer engine.
And I have one where the IMS issue was sorted.
Yes.
Because they didn't replace it with the same engine with the same IMS. I think they figured out that they were having problems.
Yes.
Certainly by the 997-ish, maybe the 997.2, they figured it out. But anyway, I feel very confident about that. And I think the same thing happens, actually, when you replace the engine in the Tundra. I feel like you get, you know, an older truck, but a brand new engine, and that's a good thing. But I think a lot of people psychologically are like, hey, I'm done with this bad boy. Just get it out of here. The one thing I have figured out for doing this for so long is that you only get one chance to make a first impression in the automotive world, unfortunately. Yeah. For good or bad, you can go back and you can fix stuff, but once you – having said that, Andre, Tundras are selling higher than ever, so maybe I'm wrong.
Well, actually, I think – Tacoma is selling
not Tundra?
Highest ever, but Tundra sales have slowed.
Have they really?
Yeah.
I thought they were booming. I thought people were just...
The Tacoma is booming.
But not still. Tundra.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Anyways.
Well, so that's Toyota for you. So
which Toyota would you...
the one with the replaced engine.
Oh, that's where you're going?
That's where I'm going, yeah. That's the Tundra I get.
I wonder if on Auto Tempest you could select... I want all Tundras, but only with a replaced engine.
Well, I mean that engine replacement is going to transfer to the new owner. So if it hasn't been replaced, but then you got to live with the week that it's out of service or however long, and then and then I think the way that Toyota is doing that replacement is, and I can't tell you why I know it, but they actually. I think figured out which ones are more likely to fail, and so they're going.
Well, there is this question about the hybrid Tundras, right?
Yeah, and they're going through their spreadsheet, and they're replacing the more
likely ones
to fail, which makes sense. So if yours is in that batch that is more likely to fail, you're more likely to get replaced first. Whereas if you're in the queue farther down in terms of its failure rate, then they've kind of figured out what the failure rate is. Then you're probably not going to get yours replaced right away. So I would buy the one with the replaced engine. Go ahead, you were saying.
Well, I guess if I was looking at the Tundra, the new one, I would look at the hybrid versus non-hybrid, right?
Yes.
But Toyota truck hybrids, and this includes the Tacoma and to a large extent, for example, the 4Runners and some of the other vehicles on the same kind of hybrid technology.
Are thirsty.
They're thirsty. They're not very efficient.
No, they're not.
So that's just confusing to me because Toyota is usually known for hybrids that are very efficient. And now it doesn't translate into the truck world. And I know they said it's about power and yada, yada, yada. But I would not get the hybrid for sure because I don't think it's worth the extra money. But I don't – I want my original heart, Roman. I don't want to change. I don't want a new heart.
Oh, so you don't want some dealer going in there and doing a heart transplant.
Well, because if master technician Bob is out that day and the non-master technician, I don't know, let's say person X is doing the work, I don't want to roll the dice.
So, I know people say that the heart of a truck or a car is the engine, but if you were doing it as a real analogy, wouldn't it be more like the bowel or the stomach?
Why?
That's what powers you, not the heart.
Oh.
And then, you take stuff in. The heart doesn't really...
Oh, the transmission is the heart.
You take food in and then stuff comes out the back, just like a real truck. There's an exhaust.
Yes. Yes.
So wouldn't the stomach really be the heart, so to speak, of a truck?
You mean the engine will be the stomach?
Yeah.
And the transmission is the heart?
Yeah.
Because transmission is actually... Translating that energy forward.
Yeah, like the heart does, yeah. Pumping the... Anyway,
we went deep on that one. We went on a tangent,
yeah. Have we forgot any full-size trucks or have we gone through the entire list?
Well, the Nissan, we don't have a Titan anymore.
Yeah, we don't have a Titan.
And, I guess we never talked about electrification.
That was a 5.7, right? I always get
5.6.
I always get that wrong. No matter what I say with the Nissan, I always get it wrong.
Yeah.
So that one was also known for being very reliable.
Yeah.
But we can talk about it because they basically got rid of it in the Armada, and they did the same thing. They went all turbo.
Yeah. They went all turbo all the time. So that's and also their Infiniti QX80s. But dude, we didn't touch on what's happening with all electric trucks. But I think for a reason, right?
Because people are sick of electric trucks.
Because they're sick of them, and also it's kind of a separate animal, right?
Yeah.
Because you could talk about specifically how Rivian compares to, you know, GM or Tesla or whatnot, but it's a different conversation. It's not what's better, turbocharging or not.
Both in the automotive world and in the truck world, car world and truck world, there is a trend to go from bigger displacement, higher cylinder numbers to lower displacement, turbocharged or force-induced powertrains, right? This is, so where once upon a time it was a V8, then it became a V6 or a straight six. Where we had a V6, it became a four. And that trend, I think, is continuing. I think we'll see if the Stellantis Hemi is a blip or if it is actually part of a trend where we go back to V8s. I think there are a lot of people, and if Tim is right, who really long for the V8 and who want that V8 power. I was listening to another podcast where this guy had a Pentastar Grand Cherokee, and mm-hmm. he called in to get some advice, and he wanted to trade it on the Hemi, which I don't think there is a Hemi Grand Cherokee.
Well, there was, but I don't know
now. Yeah, there's not one.
No,
right
there's not.
And I'm not sure there is going to be one. I'm not sure.
Well, because they're investing into a new 2-liter four-cylinder in the Grand Cherokee.
Yes.
Which is a small displacement, very high-tech engine.
And then for the most part, I think that trend has worked. I'm not sure it's worked, for instance, the Jeep. I never loved the four-cylinder 2-liter in the Wrangler. And then there are a lot of smaller vehicles where they've gone to 3 cylinders. GM has done that.
Yeah, in some passenger cars. And
Toyota has done it in their GR.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's something that we have to love or lump. But I know, for instance, that in Toyota world, the last 4-liter V8 is in the LC, which is going away. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think if you're going to want the big V8s, you're going to have to do what Andre did, and that's go with the older trucks.
But not necessarily, because look, GM is investing into their
Except
V8 engines.
GM is
really investing
into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ram is coming back into it.
Let's hope they get the reliability right.
Yeah.
You think Ford will come back?
Well, Ford still has the 5.0,
but it's
going down still. Yeah. I don't think they will. But I think they will not get rid of the 5.0, but it's not going to increase.
I hope they don't. I think it's great that they
have that. You know what I'm saying? You'll still be there
as
an option, but it won't be the main thing that people are buying.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Ford would have done better with the Raptor had they gone with the V8 with the supercharger like they did with the Raptor R? I'm saying because of price-wise, a Raptor R has now gotten so crazy unaffordable. So you're looking at $120,000?
Well, officially it's like $114,000, but dealers are still charging markups on them.
Let's call it $120,000.
Yes.
So there's a lot of room between that and the base V8 with the factory installed, dealer installed factory warranty.
Approved.
I think it's a Whipple, right? Supercharger.
It's a Whipple, yeah.
So why can't you have something in between those two that actually comes from the factory?
You could.
Wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah.
But would that then cannibalize the sale of the Raptor? Could you have like a...
No,
like,
but why not put like a 5.0 into the Raptor?
That's what I'm saying, with the supercharger. But then would you cannibalize...
Or without it?
Oh, that's interesting.
What about without it? But, well, I know it's lower
and
horsepower.
Maybe uncork it?
Or maybe increase it to 6.0.
So maybe do the tune that you get in the Mustang, because that's 500 almost.
Yeah.
So do like
if something like that was available.
The Raptor
Junior.
I can't.
R Junior.
Raptor 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that wouldn't be hard, would it?
Hey, Raptor 8.
Ford, that's a free one. I'm serious. Yes. I'm sure they thought of it, knowing those guys.
They thought of every permutation and combination of every engine, probably.
So the question I asked at this...
I don't think it's dying.
So, yeah, is our V8s dying?
No.
Are they gliding or are they increasing?
They're not dying.
I think we have to say that they're probably increasing, actually. Because when you have...
If we look at the next year,
when you have Ram saying that they're going to sell 100,000.
And if we see GM coming back to it,
so
it's definitely increasing.
So for all of you V8 lovers.
So don't be upset.
Don't be sad. If you love V8s.
Be happy.
But I think what will determine this is the thing that's always determined, and that's the price of gas. It's nice when gas was like under $3 a gallon to be like, hey, let's cheerlead, let's bring back the V8, yada, yada, yada.
But when it's touching $4
or $5 a gallon, all of a sudden that enthusiasm gets kind of swiped by the hand of reality.
Yeah.
Where you go to the gas station and you have to spend, you know,
$100. Or you have to double swipe.
Yeah. Remember those days?
Well, Ford has 36-gallon tanks. So can you imagine if you have a 36-gallon tank on every F-150?
At $5 a gallon?
You're going to be triple swiping that thing.
And the Toyota, which has like a 2-gallon tank, they've gone the other way.
Yeah. There you go.
I miss the days of dual tanks. That was cool.
Oh, yes.
Not practical, but cool.
Yeah. I have my reserve tank always.
Always, always.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for watching. We appreciate and we'll do an anniversary when Nathan's in town because he has to be
part
of this.
That's going to be in about a month.
In about a month, yeah. So it might be episode 604.
Well, no, dude, we're at 323.
Oh, I thought we were at 600.
No, we're at 6 years.
Oh, 6 years. So call it 327. And we'll have Nathan in here, and we'll you know what we should do? We'll do a little bit more self-indulgent one. Maybe we'll chew the fat, like, you know, tell some stories that we have never told from adventures past.
You know what? You know where Nathan was last weekend? Where I wish I was
at the Elwood Expo.
Yes,
I know.
I'm upset. I missed it.
Well, you're going to the next one.
Yeah.
So Andre is going down to Phoenix. So
Flagstaff.
If you guys if you're going in Arizona, if you're going to be down in Arizona and you want to say hi to Andre.
Come see me.
Yeah. You're going to get some stickers to give to people?
Heck yeah. I just ordered some new stickers, actually. Good. Not enough.
Hey,
maybe I should order more.
Do you remember when gas was high and there were all those stickers on the gas pump with little Biden pointing to it and saying, I did this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there'll be little ones with Trump pointing to it saying, I did this?
There probably should be.
Do you think that they'll... Or is that spent? I'm just wondering. I've just been driving around.
I haven't seen any,
especially in Boulder, because Boulder is, you know, Boulder. I've been expecting to see those
little pointy fingers.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen one.
All right. Well, guys, once again, thanks for watching. Thanks to all our Patreons. We really appreciate the fact that you guys are part of this and make it possible. Because without you, it would be very timely and very expensive. So you make this happen. If they want to join and help support the podcast, where do they go?
Patreon.com/TFLCar, because that's our only page. We don't have a separate truck page.
No, we never changed the name.
TFLCar.
And before we wrap up, what's this, Andre? Because this is kind of interesting.
There is a little model on our table here in the studio.
It looks like somebody took an F-150 and pulled his face back. Like F-150 in space, like that.
Yes. Well, so I recently visited the Ford Wind Tunnel facility in Michigan. And they gave me a little model. Plastic model, which shows kind of the airflow, you know, in the wind tunnel and how kind of it pulls back behind the bed and behind the cab.
I don't want to spoil your video because there is a video at AllTFL, but this is such a cool place because not only do they have a wind tunnel, it's enormous, they also have...
It's like on a treadmill.
Yeah, so they're also spinning the tires and wheels.
Yeah, the vehicles, all wheels are spinning, and there is a little bit of a treadmill below the vehicle, so it simulates the running highway or road, and the whole table turns, so you can have like...
You can go directly into the wind or sideways.
Side wind, yeah. Oh, wow. So I was super impressed.
So if you want to see that, head on over to AllTFL,
yeah.
And we'll see you guys next time. Ciao.
Thank you.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.